Holy Gospel is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. And they went into Capernaum. On the next Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. Just then there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. He cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly through all the region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever followed someone? Maybe you went to something like a wedding. You didn't know where the reception was, so you had to follow someone to get there. Or maybe as a kid, you played follow the leader. Or maybe you followed someone through some bad weather, focusing on their taillights, getting through whatever storm it happened to be, hoping to get to your destination. When you're following someone in an unfamiliar location, one of the most disconcerting things that can happen to you is to realize that the person you're following is not the person you're supposed to be following. In that moment, you can get a little nervous, a little worried, depending on where you happen to be going. But then maybe your friend contacts you or the person you're supposed to meet contacts you going, "Where are you?" And they help you get to where you need to go, and soon you reconnect and you make it to your destination. We live in a world where countless voices want us to follow them. Some for good, many others not so much. Many make great promises that if we follow them, things are going to be great, but then they end up leaving us with nothing, but they end up leaving us lost or brokenhearted or guilty. Do you know whom you follow? So many voices demand our attention that we can easily lose the one voice we need to follow. Sometimes you and I have to realize that the hard way. Sometimes you're so far astray that you don't even know you're lost. Sometimes you think you're following the right voice when actually what you're following is the siren song of darkness. So how do we know whom to follow? How do we know which voice is worth following and why all others we should ignore? Well, today, the gospel writer Mark, he helps us to know whom you're following. Now, if you follow someone on the road, you know, to a destination, wherever that might be, it's always good to make sure you know the details about their vehicle. And maybe you pay attention to what color their vehicle is, what the make, the model, the type of vehicle it is. Maybe even you go so far as figuring out, making sure you know their license plate number. And when it comes to the one voice worth following through this life, we're able to identify that voice too. First, you'll know him by what he says. Now, Jesus had just gotten started in public ministry. He didn't have much of a following at that time, just his apostles. But right from the get-go, Jesus was no ordinary rabbi. One Sabbath, Jesus went to the local synagogue in the seaside town of Capernaum, and there he was as the visiting rabbi to speak on the word of God. But that's where the story takes a different turn. The people there were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the experts in the law. Now, the people listening in that Sabbath morning, Jesus' teaching was amazing. He taught as one who had authority, not as the experts in the law. Jesus and his teaching were like nothing they had ever seen or heard. You see, most rabbis, they taught by appealing to the authority of others. Oh, this rabbi said that, or that rabbi said this. They appealed to these long-dead rabbis, to these other authorities. They themselves taught without authority. And when they did teach about the Word of God, they made it into a rule book with countless laws and regulations, maybe even tacking on a few 10, 20, or 300. By doing so, what they ended up doing is making God's Word a great burden for the souls of the people. They burdened them with guilt. They left people trying to do more, trying to impress God, or just left guilty in despair. But none of that was Jesus. Now, his teaching was so amazing because he proclaimed the good news of sins forgiven, not by actions or works or decisions, but only through him. As Jesus preached at another Sabbath service back in his hometown of Nazareth, he quoted the prophet Isaiah, who said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus proclaimed the good news that he himself would restore those left with nothing because of sin's guilt. He himself would liberate those held captive and oppressed by the slavery of sin. He himself would restore the sight of those blinded by sin's ignorance. Jesus proclaimed that good news, but he wasn't appealing to any other prophets. He wasn't saying, "Well, this is what's going to happen." Instead, he proclaimed that good news with divine authority. He was more than some teacher or a model for living, but by his teaching, Jesus proved that he was God's undeserved love in the flesh, revealed for all. The voice of Jesus was a new voice calling the people to follow him as he preached the truth with divine authority. Unlike the rabbis, Jesus himself was the source of Scripture. It was his word that he was proclaiming. So it's no surprise, the people were pretty amazed. They were listening. The Holy Spirit was planting faith in their hearts, and it was starting to grow, but you know, there's no way Satan is just going to let that happen. Just then, while Jesus was teaching, there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." A demon-possessed man interrupted Jesus' preaching. The spirit that controlled this man is described as unclean. That means absolutely filthy and disgusting before the Holy God. He is a servant of Satan. Now, on the surface, of what he said, it was actually true. The demon made that man speak things that should not have known on his own. Satan knew who this Jesus of Nazareth was. He knew his purpose in coming. He knew Jesus was the Son of God come to destroy the devil's power. So that demon had one job: turn people away from Jesus. Get them to stop listening to his word. Get them to reject his work. The demon properly identified Jesus as the Holy One of God, the one who would deliver mankind. But that demon wasn't there to proclaim the good news of salvation. That demon sought to cause confusion among Jesus' hearers, maybe even grow a little false belief in a few hearts over here, or at least stomp out the very buds of sprout of faith that's happening in other hearts. Those are the words of the father of lies. How can we possibly believe that this Jesus is really who he says he is? Through these lies, Satan sought to hinder Jesus' work by twisting the truth and perhaps steal a few souls along the way. Now it takes us back to our original question. Whom do you follow? You'll know whom to follow by what he says. On the one hand, we have Satan twisting truth with lies to harm souls and hinder Jesus' work. On the other hand, we have Jesus, who not only proclaims the good news of sins forgiven, but also comes to save. Know whom you follow. So what did Jesus do about that demon? Was Jesus just full of words? How can we be sure of whom we follow? Well, you'll know him not just by what he says, but by what he does. Out of concern for the man and his hearers, Jesus rebuked the spirit, "Be quiet, come out of him." Instantly, the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Imagine all that happening when you come to church one day. You'll know whom you follow by what he does. The way that evil spirit treated that man shows us who Satan really is. His actions were terrifying. He had literally taken control of this man, not to help or to save or to bless, but to harm and destroy. While possessing that man, the demon sought to undermine Jesus' work and his message. But when Jesus cast him out, that evil spirit did all he could to harm the man. Destruction has been Satan's goal since he rebelled against God long ago. Since then, Satan has sought to destroy what God has created, to ruin souls, to bring pain and misery into the lives of every person, especially those who follow Christ. He tempted Adam and Eve to doubt God's promises and brought death and corruption into our world. He battled Christ through friend and foe to stop him on his way to the cross. He brings strife into Christian congregations who faithfully teach God's word so he can turn people away from the truth. He attacks believers like us with misery and grief and pain. By his actions, you will know him. He is the father of lies. There are times when he appears like an angel of light, offering great blessing to those who follow him, when in reality, he's a demon of darkness seeking to do nothing less than destroy us. We dare never follow the one cast into the eternal darkness of hell, but we follow the one who came to save. With his almighty word, Jesus proved he had authority over darkness, over demons, over Satan. Jesus' actions showed he came to save, to create life, to restore our relationship with the Holy God. In that Galilean synagogue, Jesus briefly showed why we follow him. You see, Jesus didn't come to be a wise teacher. He didn't come to be a moral example. He came to save. He came to rescue. He rescued his hearers from the lies of the evil one. He rescued that man from the control of Satan. Even more so, Jesus proved why he had come. He had come to rescue us. It was early in Jesus' ministry. And he was going to battle Satan at every turn for the next 3 years, but eventually, the victory would belong to the Lord. That demon could not disobey Jesus' divine command. Though he tried to turn humanity against him, Satan could not stop Jesus either. Jesus eventually went to the cross, and by his sacrifice, he defeated Satan. Even when he bowed his head in death, victory belonged to Christ, because not even death could hold him in his tomb. And like that screaming evil spirit who left the man, Satan could scream all he wanted, but he was no match for our Savior. Satan is still no match for Jesus. Yes, the devil does all he can to make our lives miserable, but the old evil foe is no match for Jesus Christ. The one who gave orders to evil spirits and they obeyed still stands victorious today. In Christ alone, we can be sure that the truth of the gospel will never be lost. In Christ alone, we can be sure that our God will prevail when the world closes in on us, when our sinful natures betray us, or when the seductive voice of Satan calls us to abandon following Christ. By their words and actions, you know whom to follow. Satan seeks to harm you. Christ seeks to save you. So faith in Christ, by faith in Christ and through his word, you'll know whom you are following. You'll follow the one who gives life. You'll be on guard against Satan's attacks. And through that word, you will know that Christ, your leader through thick and thin, will never lead you astray, but will lead you to the eternal joys of heaven. Amen.